Maybe we could look to the Lord in prayer again for help. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for this time of fellowship that we can have together, a little foretaste of that which is to come. We would just look to Thee for help as we would open up Thy precious word, that we would be given encouragement and guidance for the path Thou hast marked out for us. We cry to Thee for help, Lord. Thank Thee for Thy tender mercies. Give Thee thanks in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Well, I would like to share with you all something that has been a great encouragement to me and exercising for me throughout the past year. And I trust that it might be of something that would be a help as we enter into a new year. That which maybe I have learned in some part, small way. We can say that in the year to come, there's going to be change. And one of the greatest characteristics of time is change. Until that eternal day when we're with the Lord Jesus, the one who changes not. And so I would just like to, with the Lord's help, look at the spirit in which we accept change. It affects every one of us. And it was just a couple weeks ago, I was speaking to my boys about one of my employees. He's a young man of 18, and we were speaking of things that we would like to maybe see a little differently, things maybe he could do a little better. But we all agreed that there was something that he excelled in. And that thing that he excelled in was a good attitude. In terms of scripture, was an excellent spirit. I covet that. There are times I would tell him to do things that I knew that he didn't want to do, or he didn't really enjoy doing. His response was right away, yes. And he would turn and take off and go do what I told him to do. It's probably been 20 years ago or so, I listened to a meeting, and the meeting by Gordon Hayhoe, and the title was that the Lord is trying or testing our spirits. Testing the spirits of man. If I were to ask your neighbor or those in your household or those in the assembly or the workplace, how's the spirit of so-and-so? What would they say? What would they say? You know, I think of what the Lord asked James and John, or he told them, ye know not what manner of spirit you're of. What manner of spirit are we of? And this has been exercising for myself. And so I would like to look at two men of God in scripture, that one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, one who was young and one who was old. So that includes everybody here. I see many different ages. And they've been a great help to me, as Hebrews 13 says, whose faith follow. And so we take great encouragement in these two men of God. The first man of God in the Old Testament was a young man. And he had to deal with great changes in his life. He was taken a captive from his land, placed in a strange country that was to be his home. His name, his body was changed. His language was changed. His schooling was changed. His food was changed. How do we deal with change? How would you deal with such a change in your life? Well, it's been a great encouragement to me. If you turn to Daniel chapter 5, we'll see the spirit of this one who had to overcome, who went through many changes in his life. And so I'd like to just turn to Daniel chapter 5. And this is the testimony of the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 5 and verse 10, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him whom King Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Now verse 12, look at this closely. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation. In Daniel, we could say he had every reason to be bitter. Was he? In him was found an excellent spirit. A beautiful thing. Now, there's a testimony of another one. And I'm thinking of these things too. That the assembly is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. The testimony and ground of the truth. Look at dear Daniel. What a testimony. Not just his three friends, but to the world around. The end of chapter 5, verse 30. And that night was Belshazzar the king, the Chaldean, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over the presence of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now verse 3. Then this Daniel, this is by another ruler, another king, Darius. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Because, why? Because of his knowledge and understanding? No. Because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel moved kingdoms by his excellent spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Can we meet in the changes that come our way? Can we have an excellent spirit? Like Daniel? How much more we have than Daniel had? Yes, we can. And so I'd like to look at the other one now. It's in the New Testament. He actually has already been spoken about some. But he also had to overcome a change in his life. This happened at the end of his life, towards the end of his life. This man was taken, as it were, a prisoner. And he was exiled, imprisoned, as it were, to a 13-square-mile piece of land out in the middle of the sea, between Greece and Turkey. There were a lot of changes, I'm sure, food, lifestyle, maybe even living in a cave. No fellowship with his brethren. You know, he couldn't even sit down at the Lord's table and remember the one he loved so well. He couldn't do that. But let's see what kind of a spirit this dear brother had. Revelation chapter 1. And as we read this, think about what your response would have been if you had those changes like Daniel, or like this brother here had. What would your response be? Revelation 1 and verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, who was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why was he there? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Was that not an excellent spirit? Did he have reason, as an older man, the end of his life, to have to be imprisoned to an island that maybe would never be released from, die there? Dear John had an excellent spirit. How would we today, if you were to write as to your thoughts as to what would characterize the state that you're in right now, the circumstances that you're in right now, could you write as John wrote? That the circumstances that you're in is for the word of God and for the testimony. There's that pillar again. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true for us today? It is. May it be true with us. It was with John. So you might ask, what was the secret to their excellent spirit? How could they have such a spirit in such a time? Difficult circumstance as they were in. This would have been a help to me. Turn to Micah. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. And verse 9, especially thinking of the end of the verse. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. This is what I'm thinking of. Hear ye the rock, and who hath appointed it? You know, I think it's in Isaiah. The Lord says, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think that Daniel was looking at Nebuchadnezzar? Or was he looking at the one who was the master of Nebuchadnezzar? Do you think that Daniel or John Do you think that John was looking at the emperor of Rome? No. He was looking at the one who held the rod. What was their secret? I think of what Job says, I have heard of thee, but now I see thee. Oh, they heard the rod. Daniel and John, they both heard the rod. You know, their eyes were on the hand that held the rod. That's what we need. We need to have our eyes on the one who holds the rod. And there will be blessing. Was it not so with Daniel and John? It was so. And so it can be with ourselves. I think of that verse in Genesis, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Do we believe that he's over all? He is. He is. But what I think too is we need to remember, no matter what the rod is, that the hand that has allowed this is a nail-pierced hand. And it's fresh. It's a fresh nail-pierced. And I think of those verses, I'm just going to read it, in 1 Peter 2. Remember that this hand is the one who it could be said of. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself. This is for us. This is Daniel. This is John. But the Lord Jesus is a perfect example. It says, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So remember, get your eyes on the one who has the nail-pierced hand that's holding the rod. There's great comfort in that and blessing in that. But something else that was a result of their eyes being upon the Lord, you'll find in both of Daniel and John is that they wept. You'll see they both wept. And it wasn't because of their circumstances. Have you or I ever wept? You might say, with Christ, over those things that would grieve him, for his people. They both wept. What was the result of their weeping? Turn to a verse in Isaiah 84. This also has been a great help to me. Psalm 84. And we'll read, start at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Thinking of verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Well, both Daniel and John passed through the valley of Baca. And today, we are drinking of those wells that they passed through, those, the time of exercise that they passed through. You know, it takes exercise to dig a well. We have a well, a shallow well that was hand dug in our yard by our grandpa. And back then, they used that well for their water. They would put a bucket down in there, and they would dip water out of there. But it wasn't just for themselves. When their neighbors lost electricity, they would come and also drink from that well. And so what a blessing. Not only did Daniel and, you might say, John drink from those wells that they dug through weeping, through much exercise. What a blessing it is that we too can come to those wells that they dug and find refreshment and blessing for our souls. I've often thought of that. A well is a place that we can come to years later and drink from and find refreshment. And so it is. We look back on our lives, those times of weeping and exercise. Are there wells in our life that we can go back to and find refreshment? Look at Daniel and John. What an encouragement it is to go back to those wells that they dug, as it were, and find refreshment in the very day, suited to our day, that's so needed for ourselves. And so I found great encouragement in these two, that we're overcomers. We can be overcome by the circumstances in which we're in, but we can be overcomers. Can we be a Daniel? And can we be a John? Yes, we can. We need to have our eyes upon that nail-pierced hand. It is He that's over all. And can we trust Him for the year that's to come? Can we find encouragement in this blessed one? Can we dig those wells? Yes, we can. Can we be a blessing to our brethren like John was? Daniel was too. He had friends. What a blessing he was. And so, I think of what Paul told those in Corinth. He said, ye are epistles. Did he say that? No, he didn't. He said, ye are the epistle of Christ. What is the world reading as they look on us? Are we the epistle? There's only one epistle. Are we manifesting Christ? Well, how thankful we are the Lord has given us a Daniel and a John and many others throughout Scripture that can encourage us to press on with an excellent spirit. Don't we want that? Do we covet that? We do. And maybe we could just close with a verse in Galatians, the last verse in the book of Galatians. It's what Paul passed on to the saints there. And I'll just leave this with you. Galatians, verse 18, the last chapter of Galatians, verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Maybe we could just close in a prayer. Our God and our Father, we would just cast ourselves upon thee. We thank thee for those examples thou hast given us in thy precious word. We pray, Lord, as we enter another year, that we could find thee as the one who's over all and show forth an excellent spirit. Thank thee, Lord, that we can trust thee for all that's to come. We thank thee that are coming soon to take us to thy thyself, thy home, and glory. But while here, Lord, give us an excellent spirit. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, in thy precious name. Amen.